Be uplifted, be inspired. This is Step Forward and Volunteer.
Hello everybody, thank you for joining us for this episode of Step Forward and Volunteer, a new podcast brought to you by Lions Club's British Isles. My name is Ben Mountser, and as we're recording at the start of 2022, I'd like to wish you all a very happy new year. If you're a new listener, the aim of our podcast is simple. We are here to shine a light on the positive difference volunteering makes to communities across the British Isles and beyond. To do that, we will welcome a range of guests to share their stories and inspire others to step forward and volunteer. We have two exciting features for you on this episode. First, Ian Snell from Paint and Lions joins me to talk about the public response to the recent Walk into the Sea fundraiser. Ian is a professional photographer, and I've taken the opportunity to ask him how he captures great images. Then we have an exclusive conversation with wheelchair tennis superstar Alfie Hewitt, who has been supported by Acle and Brundle Lions in Norfolk since the start of his career. But first, I have a favour to ask. Because this is a new podcast, we want your help in getting the word out there. Tell your family, tell your friends, and if you're a Lions member, why not let other members of your club know about the podcast and how easy it is to listen? All you need to do is either go on the website, www.lionsclubs.co, where you will see a link to the podcast, or you can search for Step Forward and Volunteer on apps like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. You can listen on demand or subscribe so that you never miss an episode. We'll be publishing a new program on the second Wednesday of each month, and we're really keen to spread the positivity and get as many people listening as we can. Now, that's enough of me. Let's welcome our first guest. I'm delighted to be joined by Ian Snell, who is a member of Paynton Lions Club down in Devon. It's great to have you on, Ian, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, mate.
Now, we're here to talk all about the Paynton Lions Club Walk into the Sea event, which I believe took place on Boxing Day. First up, Ian, maybe tell the listeners what the event is all about.
Yeah, sure. It's a fundraiser, but it's quite a simple sort of walk into the sea where participants or local people and further afield are encouraged to take part either sponsored or by paying a fee on a day, whereby they come and encouraged to take part in fancy dress, to go into the sea for as long or as little as they want and back out again, all helping to raise much needed funds to help the local community.
How long has the event been running, Ian?
The event's been running in excess of about 30 years. Successfully, thankfully.
Yeah. Why do you think it has had that success? Why is it so popular, do you think?
Because they're all mad, I guess. I just think it's probably that time of the year where there's a bit of a lull. And it makes a difference, you know, a bit of a lull in activities. And it makes a difference to going and taking the dog for a walk, I suppose. You know, it's a bit of a different activity.
Yeah.
Other than that, really, I don't know. I guess, it's just the fun side of it, isn't it?
Definitely. And it's that fun. And I guess the family element as well, going down there with your family, daring each other to walk into the bitterly cold winter sea. I guess that's what brings people together for an event like this, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's that aspect of the camaraderie, bravery, if you like. And like you say, the fun aspect, you know, doing something together as a family.
And from a Lions perspective, Ian, how successful has the event been in terms of fundraising?
The event has been extremely fun. Successful in fundraising. It's one of our major events for the year, so it's really vital that it is successful and it happens every year. So yes, we're extremely proud of our fundraising record on this event and the support that we get from the community.
Great stuff. Now, on the day, Ian helped us by grabbing some time with some of the brave souls who walked into the sea at Paynton. We're going to hear from Ian and them now in this clip.
So ladies, can I ask you, what made you take part today?
I just thought this year is the year to do something different. It's been an interesting 18 months, couple of years. I've wanted to do it for a long time. And this is the year to push the boundaries.
So what made you what made you pluck up the courage this year?
I don't know really. It was Christmas Eve and I decided that now is the time, I've got to do it.
Personal challenge.
So how much fun was it?
Extreme fun, absolutely brilliant. I'd definitely do it again next year. Amazing.
Was the water cold?
Yes.
Okay, and what charity are you supporting today?
I haven't actually named a charity.
We're actually supporting the Paintings Lions Club. So, yeah.
Thank you very much, ladies. Hello. What made you take part today?
Well, we love doing the Boxing Day dip every year, and of course the weather was shining, the sun was shining today. We had all the family with us, and we thought it was a great thing to do for the community.
That's ideal. And how much fun was it?
Really, really, really fun.
And was the water cold?
Yes, very cold.
And what charities are you supporting today?
Well, we're down here with the Lions Club supporting, but it's all the local charities and all the local people being together.
That's great. Thank you very much. Hello. What made you take part today?
We did a thing last year where we said we would do it this year, so we all did it and we just wanted to try it out.
That's great. And how much fun was it?
It was really good fun, but a bit cold, a bit mind-numbing to start off with. We were a bit nervous, but once we got in, it was really good fun.
Yeah.
And would you do it again?
Yeah, probably, just more people.
We'll bring the whole family next year to do it.
And what charity are you supporting today?
Heart Charity,
British Heart Foundation.
So, what made you take part today?
It's an annual tradition. We try and do it every year.
Good. And was it fun?
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Was the water cold?
It was so cold. It was take your breath away cold.
Was it colder than previous years?
Definitely, yeah. I think it's because it's sunny. Our body temperatures were already warm, so we're blaming it on that.
Yeah.
Would you do it again?
Definitely.
And yeah. What charity are you supporting?
We supported the Lions Club today. That's what we came down to do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you to those folks who took some time to speak to Ian there. And thanks to you too, Ian, for being our roving reporter. Now, you're also the event photographer. What are the secrets to capturing the Walk Into the Sea event from a photographer's perspective?
Just making sure, really, that you capture the essence of the day. Making sure you capture what is going on, the people having fun. Just really sort of recording what you see. There is anything more than that. Yeah, I mean, you haven't got to create anything. It's pretty much there for you. You might have to control one or two to look a little bit braver and look a bit jollier and excited about the whole thing, despite the suffering from the chills of the waters. But yeah, that's really the essence of it, I think.
Yeah, I bet you get a lot of different faces, don't you? Some really happy, some really not so happy about the temperature of the water.
That's right, yeah. Yes, I think the initial impact of the cold water is, if you can get that, great, but certainly when they come out, there's lots of different emotions and expressions, and capturing those is, of course, important to show the fun side of the event.
And obviously the fancy dress element as well, that must be great for a photographer.
Oh, most definitely, yeah. We get a wide range from various sort of wild animals to numerous Santa Clauses and his escorts, etc. Yeah, all sorts of characters we get. And we even get the local MP take part, although he doesn't brave fancy dress, but he does support us every year and go in and come out again. So, yeah, it's great.
That's really good. A really impactful event for the local community, clearly, Ian. Now, talk a bit more about the photography of it. Obviously, in the volunteering charity sector, it's great to capture images of events like this, but you want it to go beyond just maybe holding a big blow-up check, don't you? What advice would you give photographers around getting the best images at charity events?
Yeah, again, recording what you see, but like you say, to avoid the check presentation if you can, because... no matter how big the check, it's boring. It's very, very boring. So if you can, if it's a fun event, if you can capture the fun side of it, if it's not a fun event, it's a more serious sort of fundraising, then just capture the happy, smiling faces. It's far better than a check presentation. If you are making a presentation, then perhaps purchase the goods and make the photographs of the presentation of the goods. It's far more interesting for the public, and it's actually more attractive to newspapers, the editors. They much prefer that than a check. So that'd be my advice. And say big happy smiley faces, no matter what. It's important.
Yeah, definitely. Something different, I guess, is the key, isn't it? And trying to capture the kind of emotion of the day. Now, you've been a photographer, Ian, for many years. I want to talk about that really, and why you believe like photography and images have this enduring appeal, even in the digital age where there are so many different medias now. Like, photography still has such strength and appeal to people, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I mean, it's more so now, I think, probably than ever, because as you say, because of the digital era. But also now, as a result of the digital era and the progress that it's made, everyone can get an image. Everyone has a mobile phone now. And the quality of the images that can produce from the mobile phone is incredible. It's on a par almost with the top of the range of digital cameras, digital single SLRs. So it's on a par with that. But it's easier, it's automatic, and everyone's got one in their pocket, so it's instant to bring it out and capture those images. The only thing is to make sure that what you capture is quality, is creative, is different. And again, go back to the same old happy smiley faces. But I think that it has endured more people to engage in photography now with the digital era, and the fact that it is so easy and that everyone's got their phone in their pocket.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone's a photographer now, aren't they? What are your favourite types of photos though, Ian? Like what over the years, what are the sort, is it people led shots? Are we talking about
It is people really, I guess. Landscape doesn't really appeal to me, it never really has. I worked for a long, long time with local press, so it was people, it was events, it was milestones in people's lives. So it was people predominantly. Weddings was the other thing, so it was people. People were very much interested. I think we're all very different, and there's some real characters out there that need to be recorded for forever. So that's what really appeals to me, is people on that side of it. And it sometimes actually allows you to be quite creative as well. So, and that's what really interests me, yeah.
Brilliant stuff, Ian. That's where we're going to finish. Thank you so much for coming on. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, thanks, Ben. Yeah, good.
We're going to let Ian go now, but don't you go away, listener. There's a lot more to come after this.
Never miss an episode of Step Forward and Volunteer. Listen via lionsclubs.co or subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts.
For my second conversation in this episode of Step Forward and Volunteer, I was delighted to catch up with Alfie Hewitt, one of the biggest names in wheelchair tennis. The double Paralympic silver medalist, who so far has 18 Grand Slam championships to his name, has a pretty inspirational story. And the Lions are part of it. Alfie was born with a congenital heart defect and diagnosed with Perthes disease at the age of 6. As a youngster growing up in Norfolk, he started playing wheelchair tennis, with early financial support from Acle and Brundle Lions helping him achieve his dream of competing in the Paralympics. Despite his success, Alfie has spent the last 2 years fearing that he would be forced out of wheelchair tennis. Classification changes meant his condition was deemed not severe enough, but just before our interview took place, a review cleared Alfie to continue his career. In the interview, Alfie discusses the support from Lions, he reminisces about some of the fundraisers, including a catwalk, and he shares his renewed optimism heading into 2022. Alfie is such a down-to-earth lad, and I really enjoyed our chat. He starts by talking a bit more about his trophy-laden career.
So I play professional wheelchair tennis. Got into the sport when I was probably around 8-9 years old. That's when my journey started, back when I was a kid. Didn't really take it very seriously then. It was all about just picking up a new sport after being diagnosed with Perthes disease and finding a love for competitive action again. So yeah, that was where, I say, it all started, back in Lime Tree Road in Norwich. And over the years, I gradually increased my training, gradually started getting playing more tournaments, taking a little bit more seriously, started making a bit of groundwork in the juniors, and I turned professional, I guess officially, when I was 2016, and that was some year to really start. The Paralympics in Rio 2016 was an amazing first games for me, winning 2 silver medals, and since then it's just been an absolute roller coaster, but a lot of highs. I think we've won as a doubles partnership, me and Gordon, 12 Grand Slams, 13. I'm actually not quite sure.
When you don't know how many, when you can't keep count, I think you're doing it right.
That just nah. We've done well, especially over the last 2 years and five. I remember the singles clearly. Five Grand Slam singles, and got my third silver in the Tokyo Paralympics. So, you know, it's been a great career as to date. I'm currently world number 2 in the singles ranking and world number 1 in the doubles ranking. So I'm in a good position with my career, and looking to keep improving, really.
If you would, Alfie, maybe tell the listener a bit about your disability and how you like first got into wheelchair tennis.
So when I was 6 years old, I started developing pains in my left knee, in my left thigh, which at the time was just really put down to being a young kid who was passionate for his football, would be pretty active majority of the days, really wanted to grow up and be a professional footballer for Norwich City. That was my dream back at 6 years old. But like I said, these pains started to get worse over time, and it came to about 10 months in to these pains where I felt a crack, started to collapse, and I was rushed to hospital, obviously taken a lot more seriously that it wasn't just growing pains, and actually there's maybe something going on here. So had loads of x-rays and scans done and came out of the hospital in a wheelchair with an understanding that I had this condition called Perthes disease, which basically affects the left, well, for me it was my left hip, the head of the femur, due to poor or lack of blood circulation, starts to disintegrate at the top of it. So they say that almost the head of the ball starts to crumble, and so that obviously caused a lot of pain. I was in and out of hospital for many years and was wheelchair bound from that moment. So not being able to be on my feet was obviously quite a tough transition to get my head around as a 7 year old then at the time. And my family noticed that I was missing enjoyment in life, and so they got me back into lots of different disability sports. The sport, like I said, was everything, really. I just wanted to win. I had this competitive nature in me. So I think I took up wheelchair basketball, wheelchair tennis, and archery, which is a bit of a bizarre one, but those were the three that I remember playing on the rig back when I was, like I say, first diagnosed.
It obviously took a huge amount of mental fortitude and determination to go on to achieve what you've done, which is incredible. When did you first hear about Lions then and the support they might be able to provide to you sort of when you were starting out?
Yeah, so it was obviously my family. I was probably around 13 at the time. I want to say I was quite young and still very much in my early days of competing. I was on the verge of reaching, I think it was my first ever World Junior Masters title at 13, 14. Oh no, I wanted to qualify for the Masters event, wanted to qualify for it. And so in order to be able to do that, I needed to compete a bit more. I needed to train a bit more. And so my family weren't financially in a great place. And tennis is a very difficult sport to be able to maintain the almost the requirements of what it takes to get to the top. And so I remember my mum seeking out help, and we found Acorn and Brundle Lions Club, and they were, you know, very very welcoming and offered to help us from, like I say, from that point onwards. And the relationship that we had over that time was so instrumental in what happened the following 2 years, really.
Yeah. Tell us then about Alfie, about some of the fundraising Lions did for you and the difference that made ultimately.
Yeah, they were amazing. Like I said, they were a big part of that journey at that time. And they had a few charity events. I remember them doing car boots around Brundle, and I swear they had like a fun fair in the Brundle sort of village hall, or not village hall, but that sort of area. But the one that obviously stands out, which I know you're already gonna ask me, but it is the catwalk at Gerald's department store, which, you know, was a great event. You know, they did so well to be able to raise so much money on the evening. I was a young kid with probably not much confidence at the time, so I think going down a catwalk was probably one of the most painful things that I've ever done. It was so embarrassing, but you know, people will do anything for money these days, so I guess that's sort of the kick up the butt that my mum gave me. So if you want this money, you're gonna have to go down and strut your thing, and that's what I did. But no, ever so grateful for the money raised that night and for the help they gave me.
How did they do it then? How did they coerce you into doing a catwalk?
I don't really remember. I think I was probably so nervous at the time that when it came to it, I bolted it down the middle and bolted it back as quick as I could so it can be over and I can get back into the stands or the sides as much as... I didn't want the limelight, that's the thing. I didn't like the limelight at the time, and I still don't really like the limelight. But, you know, it was fine. I remember being given a stern talking to in the car before we entered, that you will go down the catwalk by my family and whatever happens. Got to think of the purpose of the night, really. So yeah,
fair to say that you're not going to be a fashion model once your tennis career is over.
Absolutely not. If only I had the looks as well.
Good stuff, Alfie. So, you know, looking back at that, I mean, and that, you know, critical stage of your career, you know, those early days, how grateful are you for that support that Lions gave you? And do you think you would have been able to sort of continue and have the career that you've had without that initial support?
Yeah, massively appreciative of how they helped me out back, which was probably 10 years ago, if not a little bit longer now. I probably don't realise it until now when I've matured and grown up, actually, how vital that support really is in the development of an athlete in any sport, really. You know, understanding the costs of travelling to tournaments, having a companion there because I was a junior at the time, you know, it all adds up. And to be able to gain the experience that was needed to play the matches and to try and pick up as many ranking points to be able to qualify for these events, because it was around London 2012 as well. So I remember pushing or trying to push for the team, but unfortunately I missed out by one spot, which was devastating. But you know, if it wasn't for the support that the Lions Club gave me back then, no, I don't think I would have probably reached my potential as quick as I did. You know, everyone who's helped me out on my journey plays a massive role, and I'm ever so grateful for what they did and what they gave me. Because like I said, it's really not easy to be able to fund yourself, and you know, I'm extremely lucky now, but back when you're starting and in grassroots level, it is very difficult. And if you've not got that financial background, it can be a reason for a person to not develop as quick or not reach their full potential. And that's unfortunately it's the world we live in. But you know, they sort of, you know, say they removed that and gave me that opportunity to be able to train when I wanted and compete when I wanted. So yeah, I am very, very grateful for what they did.
And the whole Lions ethos is around volunteering and supporting communities and people that need help. I mean, how important do you think that is? I know you're from the same part of the world as me, and I think community and volunteering and being part of communities and helping each other is very much part of this, you know, part of Norfolk and the culture here. Like, how important is that, do you think, generally?
Really, really important. You know, and that's the thing, like, I wasn't... What blowed me away the most around being with the Lions Club was just the togetherness and, you know, how, like you said, volunteers were there and they were doing it for the sake of maybe just the good of their own hearts, really. And they weren't getting much out of it. They just wanted to to help other people achieve what they wanted to. And in my case, obviously, it was to go far in wheelchair tennis. So, you know, if it wasn't for kind-hearted people like that who want to make a difference within the community and get very little reward, then, you know, I probably wouldn't be sitting here where I'm at. So I think that's something that's really important, just, you know, as a life lesson, really, to be kind, to be nice. And I'm obviously jet setting and traveling around, but to be able to come back to a community like Norwich, which I do find is very warm and very welcoming, and everyone sort of knows everyone, especially my neck of the woods, you know, there's not much secrets about. So, you know, it's a very good place to be, and I enjoyed my time working with them.
Yeah. And you mentioned jet setting and travelling the world there, Alfie. Let's talk a little bit about the future. We know now that new sports-specific criteria around disabilities mean that you can continue to compete at the highest level in wheelchair tennis. How excited are you heading into 2022 with that?
Yeah, absolutely thrilled. Obviously, I didn't know if I had a career in the sport after the new after the recent changes, which has been difficult to manage over the last couple of years. But at the end of the day, we got a result that we wanted as a team. You know, I'm obviously delighted to be able to continue what I love to do. And I never thought about hanging up the racket anytime soon, really. So to be given a new almost lease of life with this decision, I'm feeling motivated. I'm feeling excited. It's going to be a very, very busy season ahead. I think the calendar will hopefully go back to what it usually is like, and that's quite relentless. And you know, 2024 Paris Paralympics actually isn't that far away, so I know my sights will be set on that. But we've got many tournaments and a few Grand Slams to play in the meantime. So each tournament at a time.
Yeah. And on a final point, Alfie, you mentioned that it must feel like a bit of a fresh start for you, and also heading into a new year. Obviously, a new year always feels like a bit of a fresh start for everyone. Maybe just tell the listener a bit about what you're going to be up to in 2022. And as you said, they're looking ahead to the 2024 Paralympics as well. What does sort of the next year look like?
So the way the sort of season works, it's trying to align itself with like the ATP and WTA with, you know, your hard court seasons, your clay courts, your grass. So that the first sort of 5 months of the year will be spent on hard court. So I'll be in Australia in Jan, I'll be in Rotterdam in Feb, America in March, and then the Asian tour, which is in Korea and Japan, I believe, in like April, May. So a lot of far places to travel, which I'll be collecting some serious air miles, but you know, I'm looking forward to being able to compete. You know, obviously with the decision, I wasn't sure if this was even going to be a possibility. So I don't think I'll be moaning about having to travel and compete ever again, really. So so there's that. But then obviously I get to May and it will be clay court season, going to Roland Garros, French Open. And then we get on to the lovely grass at Wimbledon in Queens. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of tennis to be played, and you know, hopefully it can go well. Like I said, I'm working hard right now. I want to try and reach the number one spot in the singles ranking. That's what my ambition is right now. Want to win a few more slams with Gordon, and hopefully pick up a few singles titles along the way, and just keep developing as a player and a person. You know, I think I've been given a completely different mindset with everything that's happened over the last couple of years, and to now have that weight off my shoulder, I see things in a bit of a different way, and I just want to get there and enjoy my time and work hard now.
A big thank you to Alfie for taking time out of his preparation for the Australian Open to talk with me. Now that is all we have time for this month, but we'll be back in February to keep you entertained and informed. If you've enjoyed this podcast, do check out the Lion magazine. Published 3 times a year, you can read editions online or download from www.lionsclubs.co. The spring issue will feature more photography advice from Ian Snell and an article on Alfie Hewitt. Don't forget, you can also listen to editions of the Step Forward and Volunteer podcast anytime via the Lions Club's British Isles website, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Thanks once again to our guests, Ian and Alfie, and everybody who makes this podcast happen. And of course, the biggest thank you is to you. Take care and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Step Forward and Volunteer. If you want to get involved in local community volunteering, visit www.lionsclubs.co to learn more.